Well, hello, and we'd like to welcome you to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and operators of the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Church Hill, Tennessee. We want to invite you to come by the Wash and Word, get your car washed, and while you're there, tune to 107.1 FM and hear these live Verse by Verse Bible Teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We also encourage you to go to the washandword.com website if you want to download or listen to any of these messages that you may have missed. It's wash, the letter N, word.com, and under the media tab, you can, again, you can download, listen to, and share any of these messages free of charge, of course. All right, so we're not going to belabor the ministry or the business. If you have any questions, again, the washandword.com website should be able to answer everything any questions you may have. We're going to get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul has, in chapter 9, has really set up an airtight defense for his right as an apostle to money and shelter and food and whatever it is that he needs. He has proven his right through the word that he should be supported by the congregation or by the people that he is ministered to. And he does the first 12 and a half verses bringing up this argument, supporting it with scripture, only to say, but we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. And so we talked a lot about tithing and money as it related to the church in today's day and age in our last message. Again, there's no big surprise that it takes money to run a church. But we are in control of the amount of money it takes to run the church. That is, we don't have to have a lot of the expenses that a lot of our churches have right now. You see, if we could just simplify our meeting times together on Sunday morning, if we can go back to the original first century church where we're meeting in small buildings and small homes, where we're small enough to minister to the needs of each other, where we're constantly raising up other leaders to send them out to minister to other small groups of people, we have these. It would become a nation full of small cells of people ministering to people in a very personal and intimate way. But we have expanded so much with our mega churches and our large auditoriums and sanctuaries, and all it has done is hindered the gospel and has created a watering down of the word of God, and we have limited the amount of the word that we can preach for fear of chasing people out the door with the hard truths of God's word. And so that's kind of where we pick it up. And Paul is, again, in this subject of ministerial support by the congregation. In verse 13, we'll pick it up here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. He says, "Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple?" Of course, he's quoting from the Old Testament. The priests were allowed to eat part of the sacrifices. That's how they got their food, because what did the priests do? They spent their lives taking care of the ministry and spiritual needs of Israel. So they had a right to eat the food. So he says, "Don't you know that those who worked in the temple have get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is being offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." Now let's stop right there. That is clear-cut scripture that says your pastor should be paid by your congregation. Okay? Now, let me take a sidebar. Doesn't have to be that way. In fact, if your pastor will pastor your church, you know, in the older days, you know, 50, 70, 100 years ago, pastors were nothing more than farmers and businessmen and just your average everyday guy who was called, had a gift of calling of preaching, and would go out on Sunday mornings to their one room schoolhouse or church house and preach to the village and or to the town, and they didn't really get paid. They just did what God had laid on their heart and gave them the gift to do. Again, we've taken this scripture about being paid or receiving your living from the gospel and have blown it out of proportions. There are pastors out there making salaries that are well beyond what God ever intended that to be. And so that scripture, by all accounts, really settles the argument once and for all that the gospel, the one who preaches the gospel, should receive their living from the gospel. But bear in mind, all this is being brought up, so again, so that Paul can deny all of it. Our pastor at Abundant Life Fellowship, and I'd like to invite you out there. We meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings for Sunday school. It's 11 o'clock for the service, and then I preach verse by verse on Sunday night at 6 p.m. But Pastor Joel Allen over at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill, he doesn't draw a salary. He doesn't pass a plate. He just wants to go out there and do church the way church was meant to be done. And, you know, his motto is to slay as many Philistines as he can before God calls him home. And, you know, it's a simple church. It's a simple format. And it's the way it was meant to be. It's there's no scheming and planning and organizing and what's the best way to draw people in. He's just out there preaching truth. And it's not a large congregation, because when you preach truth, you're not going to draw people in. But listen, those who you do draw in, those who are hungry truly for spiritual truth, are going to be the warriors that God uses as this country begins to fall and collapse. Don't act surprised. Don't think I'm anti-patriotic. I am not. I think this is the best country that you could possibly live in. And I love America, but I'm wise enough and old enough to read the signs and to look on history and how much and what has happened to nations that have followed in the pattern we're in. And so what I'm saying is that it's those types of churches, the Abundant Lifes and the Calvary Chapels that preach verse by verse. It's those types of churches and those types of people that are going to stand firm when everything else is crumbling around them. And so Paul, again, builds up this argument just to deny it. But the meaning of the scripture is clear. And again, with the exception of a few bad examples throughout church history, many full-time workers of the gospel can legally, morally, and rightfully be paid by the flock that they serve. So in Paul's case, as it should be in every case of someone wanting support, the ministry comes first and then the support, not the other way around. And so it is the demonstration of a ministry that is the basis for the raising of support. Do you see the difference? Too many times we want the money to be there before we do the ministry. God, I believe, would want us to start the ministry and trust God for the funds. That's, again, not to toot our own horns, but that's what we did here at the Washington Word. We started the business. We were going to earn the right to earn the money to support this business and to support this ministry. And God has been faithful. Some people just, they appreciate what we're doing here and they support us. Not everybody, not all the time, but enough for us to know that God is working all this out. You know, our motto here is pretty simple. We want to settle the word of God, not peddle it. And so we never ask for any kind of tithing or charity. We just want to do what the church is largely failing to do, and that is preach all of God's word in all of its entirety, not leaving anything out. And so to step out on faith before the money is there, well, friends, that is the definition of faith, isn't it? And when we do that and we truly trust the Lord, I haven't met anyone that God hasn't been faithful to. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Ministry comes first, and then we trust God to meet the needs of the ministry. And if you tried something in all earnest and it didn't work out, it wasn't because of a lack of faith. It probably was because it just wasn't God's timing. just yet. So we do the ministry first, and we trust God to carry that ministry to its completion. Let's look at verse 15 through 18. But I have not used any of these rights, Paul says, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not to make us or make use of my rights in preaching it. Man, Paul is one of my idols. He says, I've got this. He says, this is exactly what I'm allowed to have, but I do it for free because I just... And look, again, I don't want to boast, but that's what the wash and word... And I hope that there's going to be a dozen wash and words in the Tri-City area within the next 5 years. I hope God takes this thing and just blows it up because I want to see God's word getting out there and whatever it takes. And this is what we have done. We have laid our lives down for the sake of the gospel. And I one day want to be able to look back and say, you know, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't do any of this for a reward. I didn't do any of it so that I could get paid or, you know, have this or that. I just want to look back and say, did I pour myself out like a drink offering so that when my race is finished, am I completely spent? Am I completely poured out? Is everything that I have, both physically, spiritually, just poured out for the sake of the gospel? You see, I never want to get rich from serving God. I serve God because He has already made me rich. Can I say that again? Because I want you to adopt that. Never desire to serve, or rather, never desire to get rich from serving God. Desire to serve God because He's already made you rich. Paul's going to finish this chapter with just a closing point, and we're going to go ahead and just read through it. Verse 19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those who are under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. And I did it so to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Stop. That's the end of chapter 9. And just to sum it up, Paul did whatever he had to do to win people to Christ. And that was only his only concern. You know, he says, woe unto me if I don't do that. Friends, let's go out there and just start sharing the gospel. Let's do it without an expectation of some kind of reward or some kind of a monetary gain. Let's just go because Jesus said, freely you have received, freely shall you give. I want to close with the words of C.S. Lewis. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in the casket, safe, dark, motionless, airtight, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers and heartbreak of love is hell itself. Let's go out and give the gospel, friends. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I hope you're doing. You have a blessed day.